committed on the same television he's watched. Some of the murders are committed by villains, some are committed by criminals, but the equal amount of murders is also committed by the people we call the good guy. And it's sad to say that it's not just our superheroes, but in some cases, some of the young men are losing their lives in the hands of the police. Just this year, it's been Michael Brown. It's been Victor White Jr. Just a few weeks ago, in Baltimore, it was Freddie Gray. The point I'm trying to make to you this morning is from Popeye to Batman. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me this morning. From video games like Grand Theft Auto to the Teenage Mutant Turtles, we allow the television set to teach our children that violence is okay. That violence is acceptable in our society. That violence is okay just so long as the good guys are committing the violence and it's not just the bad guys. As a matter of fact, we go pay $15, $20 to go to the theater. And we'll cheer and we'll clap and we'll applaud and say it was a good movie. The more violent it is, the more bombs that explode, the more people lose their lives and are shot up in the movie. We call it a good movie. And we say violence is acceptable to suppress the evil people in our world today. But that's the myth of redemptive violence. The myth of redemptive violence says that it's okay to shoot and to kill. It's okay to do it so long as you're doing it to the bad people. It's okay to take weapons out of the hands just as long as you're taking it out of the hand of a hoodlum and a thug. But it's okay as long as it stays in the hand of the righteous few. But who defines who's righteous? I wish y'all would pray with me tomorrow. Who defines who's the good people and the bad people? Who defines who is righteous and unrighteous? You see, we love the Clint Eastwood movies. We love the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. We love the Bruce Willis movies. We love that good-looking black brother, Denzel Washington movie. We love to see him in Man on Fire. We love to see him in Training Days. We love to see him in the movie The Book of Eli. But in all of those movies, it's one violent episode after another. We love to see Wesley Snipes in Blade, but it's one killing of another killing right after another killing, and we are desensitizing our children to violence. It's hard for us to imagine that not too many years ago. That's why I said, who gets to define who's the good people and who's the bad people? You see, less than 40 plus years ago, Martin Luther King was considered a bad person. He was considered a villain of sorts. Mega Evers was considered a villain of sorts because he was trying to register people to vote. Rosa Parks was considered a lawbreaker because she refused to give up her seat on the bus. Who gets to define who's the bad? Can I tell you this? There's even a time when the disciples were considered lawbreakers. Oh, we worship Jesus. We worship the disciples. But if you know anything about church history, you know that the disciples broke one Roman law after another Roman law. They went in and out of jail, in and out of prison. As a matter of fact, the great Apostle Paul, he wrote 14 of the new 27 New Testament books, not in a Macedonian resort, not in an Alexandria school in Rome. He wrote it from his prison cell. He wrote it while he was on death row. Even Jesus, our sinless Savior, was not exempt from violence. Oh, you know the story.
Yeah.
They lied on him. They talked about him. They framed him. They set him up and they hung him high. They stretched him wide. They whipped him all night long. They spat in his face. They whipped him 39 lashes on his back. He was beaten. He was brutalized. He was not exempt from violence. I say to you today, it's time for us to look at us as people. It's time for us to quit robbing one another, to quit stealing from one another, to quit harming one another, to quit hurting one another, to quit murdering one another. It's time for us to stop the violence. In Genesis 34, we come to an awful chapter. It's strange that that's the only chapter in Genesis that God's name is not even mentioned. And when you study the chapter, you rarely realize why God's name is not mentioned, because you see, it is a chapter that is filled with sin, with excesses, and with godliness. It's a story that makes a woman and a real man uncomfortable to read. It's a story of violence. It's a story of a brutal rape. It's a story of a pain. It's a story of vigilante justice. It's a story of relationships with people who look different than one another. It's a story of cultural differences. It's a story of two separate families living in the same land but got totally different set of rules that they are governed by. But it's also a story of deception, where God's people, y'all ain't gonna pray with me this morning, God's people who call upon the name of the Lord descended to a level of gangsterism and use religion to trick some wildly unsaved people and then massacre the whole city. This morning I want to talk to you about three things and we're going to get out of here. I want to talk to you about a vulnerable victim.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't going to pray with me this morning. Y'all act like y'all ain't never been a victim here this morning. Everybody in here been victimized by somebody. I don't care if it was Leroy or John and he broke your heart. You was a victim. I don't care if they stole your bicycle. You were a victim. I don't care if they lied on you, talked about you, stabbed you in your back. Baby, you've been a victim. So don't you sit here like it belongs to your neighbor, or I'm talking to your neighbor and you can't relate to what I'm talking about, because you too been a victim. I don't care if you got a JD or a PhD. I don't care if you're John Doe or a CEO. I don't care if you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. I don't care if you run with the uttermost or you're down with the guttermost. You've been a victim. I think y'all feel me now. Let me try this again. The first point is a vulnerable victim. You see, Dinah was a vulnerable victim. She was innocent and she was untouched. She was Jacob's only daughter. You see, Jacob had 12 sons. And if you really know the story of Jacob, he had so many women, he may have had some other sons on the side. But the Bible records that Jacob, the trickster, y'all act like it ain't been no tricksters in here. Maybe you ain't been redeemed. But I say Jacob, the trickster, had
had 12 sons, but he only had one daughter. And she was a good young lady. She was a country girl good. And she resided outside of the city called Shechem. But can I tell you something? That one day, this innocent little girl, this naive young girl, she went out in the land with the daughters of the land. Oh, y'all missed that point right there. In other words, this young girl, she snuck out the house. Didn't have permission to be where she was. I know some of y'all ain't never did that. Some of y'all ain't never snuck out the house and did some things you wasn't supposed to do and been some places you wasn't supposed to be at. I know y'all too holy for that. But she started to hang out with the wrong people. She started to mingle with the wrong crowd. She was saved, but the crowd she started hanging with were unsaved. She was religious and she had morals, but the crowd she was hanging with did not have any morals. She was naive, but the crowd she was hanging with was streetwise. She was a virgin, but the crowd that she was hanging with were loose women. She was naive, she was rebellious, but she also was ignorant of the culture and the world in which she walked into. The Bible says her brothers was out in the field. It don't say where her mother was. It don't say where her father was. She was at home by herself. Maybe Jacob and Leah thought that she would stay home. Maybe they thought that she would just sit around the house. But can I tell you, if you leave them home too long, either one or two things gonna happen. You're gonna come back home and find somebody in your house who ain't supposed to be there. Mothers ought to say amen. Because I know some of y'all done caught some folk hanging around the front door of your house and sitting in your house and he ain't had no permission to be there. Or else when you get back home, you're gonna find that she's gone somewhere and didn't have your permission to go. Can I tell you something, parents? That's why don't never say what your children won't do. I wish I had a helper in the house. Don't say my baby wouldn't do that. You did it when you was her age. Don't say my baby wouldn't bring no boy in the house. Some of y'all brought some boys in the house. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. Just throw your hand up and hold your head down. She went into Shechem. It's a place where you hang out if you want to gamble. Shechem was a place that you go to if you want to hang out with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. It was a loose city, a city without morals, a city without God. A city that was full of gangs and drug dealers and prostitutes. It was a bad area to be in a big city for a country girl. And the Bible says when she was walking with some people she ain't had no business walking with, that he saw her. Y'all didn't get that. He saw her. He watched her. He followed her. He stalked her. She, to him, was different. She was innocent. She was untouched. And that intrigued and inflamed him all at the same time. Can I tell you something, child of God? Somebody is always watching you. Y'all know that old song, somebody.